So today's daf continues the discussion of what is defined as an act of murder. The Mishnah taught, after we've learned through several chapters, the different sins that get punished with stoning, and then sins that get punished with burning. So there are sins that get punished with being killed, being beheaded. So the Mishnah taught the two sins that cause beheading would be murder or the idolatry of the members of a city. If most of a city worships idols, then there would be a death by beheading instead of the normal death for idolatry, which is stoning. So the Mishnah has an amazing idea. One point is that an act of murder is a direct act, that the act itself has within itself the ability to kill. So if somebody, took a little stone and with a little stone ended up killing someone, like he threw it and this guy is so sensitive that, the moment a little pebble hits him, he had a heart attack, that's not an act of murder. An act of murder would be to take a boulder, which normally could kill, throwing it at someone and it kills, that's an act of murder. The Gemara said that when it comes to metal, there is really no, size for it to be a normal act of murder, because as long as you have sharp metal, even a small needle in the right location, put into the veins or put into the heart, can kill. So when it comes to metal, there's no question of it being big enough for it to be a normal act. But in regards to stone, the Torah mentions a stone that's held by hand. It had to be something big enough that it's normal for this to kill, and not that somehow this person reacted in a very unusual way and he died.
The Mishnah, also the force given to the stone.
Yeah.
It's not just the size of the stone itself.
Correct.
Right, so I was thinking bullet for a gun, for the metal, would be the force coming out of a gun.
Yeah, for sure a bullet can kill you.
A bullet is metal, the metal is small, doesn't matter.
For sure, even smaller, even a blade could kill.
Rabbi, can I change the subject a little bit? Yesterday, Rabbi Mizrahi just came back from Israel.
Yeah.
He found the room where the judge is sitting, underground, okay, and right now it's not open to public, and they announced it. They're gonna show it after Sukkot.
What?
I don't know, for some reason they don't want it, but he was there. He sat on the thing where the Sanhedrin and the judges were sitting down.
Wow, amazing!
He says it's amazing. He's supposed to send me the movie.
There was a room in the basement.
The picture of it.
Well, it's next to the Beis Hamikdash.
Just the Beis Hamikdash itself.
Wow, that's very exciting. So the Mishnah said that another act, which is an act of murder, is restraining the victim underwater, or restraining a victim in a furnace. So by holding the victim in a place where there's a killing thing working on him, that's also considered an act of murder. The Gemara says it doesn't have to be that the murderer pushed him into the furnace or the murderer pushed him into the water. Just holding him there is already an act of murder. But if the person pushed the victim into water and the victim could have gotten out of the water and the victim didn't get out, or the victim could have gotten out of the furnace and he just didn't, so then even though he pushed him in, since at the time of the act, it wasn't an act that would kill, normal people would have gotten out. For whatever reason, this guy didn't. That's not an act of murder that would get him killed. Now, I just want to point out that I saw the Rambam says that whenever the Gemara says or the Mishnah says that an act of murder doesn't get punished by the court, but God will punish. We have to have faith in God and His involvement in the world. He'll punish, but the court maybe doesn't punish, but God will already find a way to punish the murderer. So now let's start with the next topic, which is what about holding an animal in a certain place which would cause the animal to die? Is that considered damage? So, we'll start from, 7 lines up on Ayin Vav Amid Beis, even though we did it yesterday, we'll do it again on 76b. Says the Gemara, Kavash Minalan, how do we know that holding someone down is also an act of murder? Amar Shmuel, Shmuel answered, Amar Kro, because the Pasuk says, O Be'eva, or with hatred, Lerab, the word or is Lerabus HaMetzamtzim, to include someone who holds somebody down in underwater, that's also murder. Now, what about damage in that way? Hahu Gavra, there was a man, the Mitzamtzama L'chiyuse V'chavre B'shimsha U'mesa. His friend had an animal, whatever it was a cow or a sheep. He held this animal in the sun, and by holding it into the sun and not allowing it to get out of the sun, it died. So Ravina Machayev, Ravina said he had to pay for the damages. However, Ravacha Barav, Potter said he didn't have to pay for the animal. Ravina Machayev, Ravina said he had to pay for the damages based on a Kal V'chomer, on logic. In regards to murder, the Torah is not so strict with murder. If someone murders by mistake, he doesn't get punished. If somebody murders against his will, he wasn't trying to do it, and somebody forced him to do it, he wouldn't get killed. Nevertheless, if a murderer holds somebody underwater, in a furnace, or under a sun, it's murder. So in Ezekiel, when you talk about damages, Sha'asa ben Shogi Kimezid Vonis Karatza, and we know that in regards to damages, even if a person lays down to sleep, and he lays down next to a bunch of barrels, and then while he's sleeping, he thrashes around in the bed, he moves this way, moves that way, breaks the barrel, he has to pay for the damages. He was asleep, it was out of his control. If he makes a mistake, he wasn't trying to damage something, but by mistake he damages. He also has to pay. So you see that the penalty of damage is much easier to get triggered than the penalty for murder. The penalty for damage can happen very quickly, even for an act that was out of control, even by a mistake, there's the full penalty for damage. So if that's the case, damage is much easier to create an obligation for than murder. Murder, you're only obligated and you'd only be killed, chas v'shalom, if a person murders on purpose with warning. But if it was by mistake or out of his control, there is no punishment. And nevertheless, murder, which is harder to create, the punishment for murder is harder to create. And yet the punishment for murder applies to a person who's holding someone in place. So certainly damages, which is easier to trigger, would apply to holding something in place. However, Rav Acha bar Rav, Poter, Rav Acha the son of Rav, he exempted. He said, no, he's holding the animal in place, it's just a grama, it's just an indirect cause. The son killed him, he didn't kill the animal, he just held the animal there, but the son killed the animal. He doesn't have to pay for the damage. So Rav Misharshir, said, my time of Davu Da'aba de Poter. What's the reasoning of my grandfather, the father of father, who exempts a mitzamtzem, one who holds something in place, from paying for the damage? So he explained. We said that there was a pasuk, there was a verse which taught us that holding a person in place is murder and creates the death penalty. So the pasuk says, Amar Kra, Mos Yumas Hamakeh, he shall die, the one who hits. And then we have this word, Rotseach, who? He is a murderer. Oh, it's obvious, right? Once you say he dies, what do you have to add? He is a murderer. So the word he is a murderer to say like this, Birotseach, who? Dechayev lan mitzamtzim. In murder, we have these rules that even holding someone in place in the presence of danger and allowing this external danger to impact him is an act of murder. But bin ezikin, but in damages, lo chayev lan mitzamtzim, holding a person in place, holding an animal in place so that the animal gets damaged by the sun or by water or by a fire, which is some external force, that is not considered an act of damage to be obligated. One wouldn't have to pay.
So in this reasoning, Rabbi, even if we had held the animal underwater, and then by definition the animal would drown, the person would not be liable?
Correct. Because it wasn't him, it was the water that did it. That's right.
Why don't we say Rokseach who is required to actually inform you that this kind of act?
He's not liable. Well, that's what.
What's Fred suggesting? What's the question?
I'm saying it's not obvious at the outset that holding somebody in place would be called murder.
Correct.
We're learning that.
Right.
What I'm saying, the prosecutor says, okay, the reason, you know, is because we're calling this murder. It's needed, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but we learned that it's murder from the extra word "o," "o be'eva." So "o" included that this is considered murder.
We already know it's murder.
We know it's murder from "o," but "rotseach who," he is a murderer. This is "who" is a limitation from the word "o," but the word "who" is saying it applies to murder. Doesn't apply to damages, according to Rav.
Rabbi, I'm sorry, I didn't get it. If he causes the animal to be dead.
Correct.
He's not liable for it? Is that
correct.
What
you're saying? Because he didn't, in his hands, kill the animal. The son killed the animal. He held the animal under the son. He didn't allow the animal to escape the son.
Cause
doesn't pay for damages. Actions pay for damages. Grama benizak and pater. Indirect cause doesn't pay for damages. So it was a cause, but it wasn't a direct act. It wasn't a direct act.
That goes for animals only, for human being the same?
For a human, though, no, based on the pasuk. Oh, a human being that he did this to, it would be an act of murder, and he would be beheaded for doing it to a human being.
And there's a halacha, Rabbi?
Yeah.
With witnesses?
One second. The halacha is not like that. No, the halacha is that he does have to pay for the damages. Yeah, like Rav Acha. No. Like Ravina. Like Ravina.
Rabbi, did you say earlier that if somebody's coerced to murder, he's not a murderer?
He wouldn't be killed.
He would not be killed in front of him. But is a murderer? No, not a murderer? No.
You went to Pasayek, you came here, you don't know already?
His accessory.
It was very confusing over there.
Oh, the accessory. It's considered an accessory. Yeah.
It was out of his control. He was forced. That's right. But if a person doesn't, he doesn't get punished because he was forced.
And if that animal belongs to somebody else, he has to pay the damage. That's it, right?
That's what Ravina says. That's where we rule. We were just explaining the view of Rav that he doesn't have to pay the damage.
He doesn't have to pay damage and he doesn't have to be punished.
Correct.
And is he the owner of that animal?
No, he just held it in place.
Held it in place. Borrow the dog.
So now talking about the definition of holding things in place. Amar Rava, Rava said, Kafto, let's say a person jails somebody. He imprisons him, he shackles him, then he walks away. The guy's left out wherever he is, and over 3 weeks nobody comes to feed him, so he dies of starvation. Umes berav, pater, he doesn't have to pay. I mean, sorry, that's not murder. He's exempt. He would not be beheaded in a court. Why? Because it's true, he held him down, but when he held him down, that which would kill him wasn't there. Later, the hunger came. So that's not called holding down, that's an act of murder. Holding down, that's an act of murder, is let's say he's under the water, and he ties him under the water that he can't get out of the water. So the water's going to kill him by drowning him, and he's keeping him in that drowning thing. But when he ties a person up, and then the person dies later of starvation, at the time that the person was tied, there was no starvation in the world. The killer wasn't there yet. The killer came later. At that point, he's not doing an act. So that's not considered mitzamtzeim that he could be killed in court.
So, Rabbi, from that logic, if someone binds someone else and loads him with stone and drops him in the river, then he would not be liable either because the drowning comes after a few minutes.
No, but he put him in the river. That was his act.
Okay, but I mean, the act is that he attached him against the people.
No, if one guy loads him with stones and then somebody else drops him in the river, the guy who loaded him with stones is not going to be killed. But if he drops him in the river, that act is a direct, it's like throwing him off a cliff. That's throwing him into a killer. That's killing. An act.
Eva Bedia.
But binding him, and then later he starves, at the time of the binding, the starving's not around, it happens later.
It's inevitable. But it,
why? Maybe someone will come and free him. Uh-huh. Maybe he'll get out.
Good luck.
One of the ages.
Rabbi, what happens if...
Got
what happens if a government has the jail in the wrong place and doesn't have a good environment for the prisoners.
Right.
And the prisoners, they die in there because of the thing. Is the government responsible for that?
Well, let's see. Let's see the next case.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Somebody took somebody 100 miles out to sea and threw him in.
And he's guilty.
He's not
going to
die right away.
So no, he is. He's drowning him.
So that's in the answer.
Yeah, he didn't tie him up. He just put him to swim. I mean, so the same logic would be that...
if he can get out.
And how about if he's not...
That's what we saw. If you threw him into the river and he can get out, it's not murder.
But if it's 100 miles away from shore...
There's no way.
Baruch,
there's no way, then it's murder.
Baruch. One second, is it?
So how my Rabbi said, Kafso, again, if a man... binds the victim, and then umes barav, the victim dies later by hunger. So at the time of the tying, as Rashi says, there is the killing thing is not here. The hunger comes later on its own. So that's not called. That's not what we had in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is a guy holding him under the water, holding him into the fire. So then he's pater. Amar Rava, but Rava said. Kafto bachama umes. Let's say he ties him in the sun, and then he dies from dehydration. Or betzina umes, he ties him in the cold, and he dies from hypothermia. Then chayiv. That is an act of murder.
We got the answer.
Why? Because it. What's that?
The ocean could be hypothermia.
Okay. Yeah. So it, there he would die. There. Why? Because when he tied him, sov chama lavo. The sun is already here. It's just going to continue. It's going to keep getting worse. So, tzina lavo, the cold is already here. It's going to keep getting worse. So then, I'm sorry. So then he's chayv. Then he's guilty. However, if when he ties him, sof chama lavo, he tied him in a time when there was no sun, but he knows the sun's going to come out, and then it's going to dehydrate. Or when he tied him, it wasn't cold, but sof tzina lavo, the frost is going to come. Then he's potter, because at the time of the tying, there wasn't the killing thing here. He set something up that later caused death. Okay, that's called grama. That's called a cause. A cause is not murder. He doesn't get punished. Hashem will punish him, but the court won't punish him. What's that?
We have these categories in American law, right? I mean,
so do we? Do they have this?
Manslaughter and first degree. Differences between manslaughter and murder and okay. Things like that.
Accessory murder.
Right.
Yeah. Rabbi, it sounds like there's no issue with paying someone to kill someone, right? Because you're not doing anything. I'm saying in terms of being chayav, if I pay Gabriel to kill someone, it's his action, not mine, so I'm not.
Of course. Ancient Yahweh Vera.
You made him do it.
I made him do it?
Yeah, you're paying.
But I'm saying the person died because of him.
Okay.
So, Rabbi, if somebody ties up a guy at the tree 140 degrees outside,
finish.
After 2 days he dies, he's not.
He is guilty.
He's guilty.
And he's guilty.
He's guilty.
He put his hand on his son, right?
But he, you tell him, you're saying that he.
If you do it under the shade, he's not guilty. If you do it under the shade.
Well, hold on. You said that he didn't. Not do the action. He did the cause for it.
But if the sun's already there and he puts the person in the sun and he locks him, that is the action. Because he's holding him in the presence of the killer. But if he put him on the tree before the sun came, knowing that the sun would come, that's not murder. That's an entire act of
course.
That's not murder. But then the witnesses are accomplices because they won't let the guy kill.
Wow.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I said before. The witnesses have to see this.
V'amai Rava, and Rava said further, Kafso lifnei ari. Let's say he ties him in front of a lion, and the lion eats him. Pater, he's exempt. That's not an act of murder.
He didn't know the lion's going to eat him.
So, according to Rashi, the explanation is because even without tying him, the lion would have eaten him.
Right.
However, lifnei yitushin, if he ties him in front of a bunch of mosquitoes and the mosquitoes kill him, then chayiv, because this person could have escaped the mosquitoes. That's the way Rashi explains the difference. With mosquitoes, he could have escaped the mosquitoes. With the lion, he can't escape the lion anyway. Rav Ashi amar lafilu lifnei yitushin nami pater. Rav Ashi said, even in front of the mosquitoes, he's exempt. Why? Because Hani Azli, the mosquitoes that were there when he tied the person, they've already left. For Hani Asu, it's probably other mosquitoes that came that give the last bites that make him die. So since these weren't there at the time of the tying, that's called an indirect cause. Itmar, we learned. Kafa alav gigis. Let's say he put a barrel over this victim. And as a result, the man choked. Or para me'alav ma'aziva. The man was sleeping. He took off the roof. And so the man died from the frost. So Rav and Reb Zera, Chad Amar Chayiv, one said he's guilty. Chad Amar Pater, and one said he is exempt in these cases. No, not connected to that. So the Gemara says, Tistayim, let me prove to you. De Rava hu da'amar pater. Rava is the one who holds, and in these cases he would be exempt. Da'amar Rava, because Rava said, kfato, if you tied him, umespera of, and later he dies with hunger, pater, he's exempt. So, tistayim. So that is, in fact, a good proof. So that would be the same thing apparently here, that when he took off the roof, at the time, it wasn't going to kill him. Later the cold came that was going to kill him. And apparently also with the barrel, putting the barrel over him, apparently at the time, is not going to kill him. It's just that he runs out of air eventually, I guess. So there's like a new air that the Gemara thought, I guess, comes in to kill him. The bad air kills him, but you know that's because he keeps creating that bad air by breathing it out. So again, that's considered maybe indirect.
The Rabbi Yosef brothers threw him in a pit.
Correct.
With the snakes. Mm. Are they guilty of a murder?
No.
No?
No.
But they knew that the snakes down there, they're still going to be...
But he didn't die.
So the point that Baruch raises is the intent of the perpetrator.
But the intent, it was there to be dead, to be starved, to be, you know, beaten up by the snake. That was the intent.
Wasn't it?
It's true that they had bad intentions, but we saw already earlier that the snake would be guilty, not the snake. The snake is a person, is a being, so the snake is the one, but not the person who put the person in front of the snake.
Now the court is going to behead the snake.
The court, yeah. They would not. Yeah.
Shara Niska, right? You kill an animal that kills the person. One second, a question by Jonathan.
Yeah, so the Torah teaches us that if there's a dangerous condition in your house, like you have to put a fence around to cover a pit, because it's a dangerous condition that you're responsible for.
Right.
And if something happens, you're responsible. So here, the guy, you're responsible for a condition that didn't even happen. But here, you're creating a dangerous condition that damages somebody.
But there are different levels of responsibility. There's moral responsibility, there's financial responsibility, there's capital responsibility. We're saying here, this person who does these things, he's not going to be put to death. But God's still upset with him. God will kill him, but the court won't kill him.
But if I didn't put a fence on my roof and someone falls off and dies,
right.
What happens to me? Nothing. It's just damages, I pay damages.
You don't even pay damages.
Nothing happens.
Okay, nothing happens.
But
God's eyes, you're wrong for not putting up the roof.
Didn't we learn, Rabbi, if there is...
He damaged himself. He went up there. He should never have gone there.
Didn't we learn in the Parsha that if it's not a fence around your roof and somebody falls on it, the owner is responsible for it?
He's guilty. But it's not that he has any financial responsibility.
Cause of the whole thing,
he's guilty. God is upset with him.
He will not be killed or...
Yeah. Court won't
judge. Why do we say
he said he wasn't responsible with the lion.
What's about gnats then? Why is the difference in the gnats and
the... He said he wasn't responsible with the lion.
But then the gnats versus the snake.
Because the difference between the lion and the gnats.
He can get away from the gnats. He can't get away from the
gnats. Right. In that case, the gnats are killed.
Right.
Good question.
I think you had this question. It's very
need to understand that it's, the person is not free, still in the Shamayim, it's not patur from...
Yeah, we said that. Yeah,
yeah, I'm saying, you said that it's not that he's patur and punished.
We have a lot of categories. They don't have the categories.
Now, did they practically create their abundance around this rural society? Because obviously...
Yes. Yeah. If you needed to, you would.
Okay.
So the Gemara says, Adarabba, maybe the opposite. Tistayim de Reb Zeira hu de Amar Pater. Maybe we could say Reb Zeira is the one who says he's exempt. De Amar Reb Zeira, because Reb Zeira said, Hai man de Aila Lecharve, Bevesa de Shisha, a person who puts his friend into a house, a room that's closed with marble, v'adak le'shraga, and he lit a candle there into this closed, sealed room, so the person died from suffocation, umeis, and he died chayiv. So then he's guilty. He would be put to death. Taima d'adak le'shraga. The key here is that he lit a candle. Hallo adak le'shraga, but if he didn't light a candle, just lock him into the room. Lo, then apparently not, because apparently what kills him is not yet in existence yet. So you see that it's like Reb Zeira, that the idea of putting a barrel over someone and then the guy choking is exempt, is Reb Zeira. So my answer is, Amri, they answered in the yeshiva, Hassam, in regards to a closed marble room. Lo shraga lo matchil havla, without a candle, it wouldn't become suffocating. Now, Bishate, when he put him in, right? It's only later that he would, after time, become, you know, use up all the oxygen, so then it become suffocating. But hacha, but with a barrel, the lo shraga nami matchil havlo bishate, right? When he puts the barrel, because it's so small, he puts the earthenware barrel over a friend, so right away it becomes suffocating. So since it becomes right away suffocating, so maybe here Reb Zeira would hold that he is guilty right away. Amar Rava taught, Dachvo Lebor. So this gets to what Baruch was talking about. If a person pushes his friend into a pit, V'sulam Bevor, but there is a ladder in the pit that the friend could climb out. Now Uba'acher, somebody else came, V'silka, and took away the ladder. So now nobody did murder.
Wow.
The one who pushed him in didn't do murder because there was a ladder to get out. And the one who took away the ladder didn't do murder, he just took away a ladder.
But this suggests that if there was no ladder in the first place, then there would be guilty of murder.
Right. Vafilu who?
According to this, Yosef brothers are guilty.
One second. Vafilu who cut on the silko, and even if the guy who pushed him into the pit would remove the ladder, he would not be killed for pushing him into the pit. Potter, why? The Shadi, when he threw him into the ladder, Yachol Alosu, he could get out. Now, taking away a ladder is, again, not an act of murder. That's not holding him down. That's actually a grum, an indirect cause. It's taking away that which could save him. So taking away that which could save, that's not considered an act of murder. An even more extreme example. Amar Rava. Rava said, "Zarak chetz." A man shoots an arrow at his friend. Utris biyado. But at the time that he shot the arrow, the friend has a shield. Ubach. And then someone else came while the arrow was flying. Venato. And he pulls away the shield. Afilu hu kada venato. Or he who shot the arrow now runs over and pulls away the shield before the arrow gets there. So putter. So again, it's not murder. Why? The act that killed was the arrow. But when the arrow was shot, be'idna deshadyabe, at the moment that he shot the arrow, mifsak paska gire, this was not an arrow that would kill. It was going to be stopped by the shield. So the shooting of the arrow is not considered an act of murder, because it wasn't an act of murder. It was going to be knocked away by the shield. Pulling away a shield is something separate. That's removing a saving. Removing a salvation is not an act of murder. That's not an act of murder to remove a salvation. So therefore, it wouldn't be murder.
Rabbi, yes,
and now a third example, just even more extreme. Vama Rabba said, Zarak bochets. A man shot an arrow. Visamanim biyado. And the victim doesn't have a shield. The victim has medicines that he could apply to the wound that would heal the wound. Uba Acher and someone else came with Pizra and he knocked the medicines out of his hand and back, you know, they all fell on the floor. Or Afilu who caught them with Pizra, or the man who shot the arrow before the arrow hit this man knocks away the medicines from his hands. Or maybe after the arrow hits, knocks away the medicines. Pater, that's also not murder. Binyan the Shadabe at the time of shooting the arrow, it wasn't an act of murder, because Yachalus Rapos Hava. This was a guy who could be healed from the arrow wound. Now he took away the healing, but that's not an act of murder. That's removing something separate. That's removing the salvation. Removing the salvation is not an act of murder. It's not even mitzamtim. It's not even holding someone in place in the dangerous location.
Isn't that second degree murder, Rabbi?
We don't have that, as Fred pointed out. We only have the court punishing for murder.
These guys have to run off to the city of refuge, right?
No, it wasn't by mistake.
I thought that we learned that Gaius throws the axe and they hit him.
Yes,
and then he died.
Exactly, because that was a mistake. That was negligence, unintentional.
Shooting the arrow
is intentional.
But there was supposed to be a shield there.
Yeah, but the act of shooting the arrow is not a murder act. Because when he shoots the arrow, the guy's not going to be hurt by the arrow. He then took away the salvation. Okay, it's a separate act. Yes, Izzy has a question.
This is not for Steph Hill.
Right, this is
a... This will be great, this part. Let it go.
It's very complicated for us. Is Rishonim Achronim will put a lot of time on that?
Sure, there's a lot of discussion about this. Sure. A lot of discussion. Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi said.
Excuse me, Rav Ashi. Please. Somebody... like here, they have here this Maximus, this Roman soldiers, okay? They had the shield in their hand. So somebody shoot the arrow to them. They didn't use the shield to protect themselves, okay? And the arrow went and killed them. Is he responsible for the killing?
No.
No.
He's not responsible.
That's the idea.
Because he had the shield, he should have used it.
Yeah.
He did not use it, that's his problem, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Amazing. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi said, Hilkach, now let's go even further. A man who shoots an arrow and the victim doesn't have the medicine. But Samanim Bashuk, the medicine's in the pharmacy. It's in the market. He could go buy the medicine. Shooting the arrow is not an act of murder. Because at the time of shooting the arrow, he could have gotten himself healed.
Even though the intention was to
kill him. Amar le Rav Acha, Brei de Rav le Rav Ashi. Rav Acha, the son of Rav, though said to Rav Ashi, let's say though he shot the arrow, and the man didn't have medicine, and he didn't have a way to buy the medicine. But nizdamnim lo samanim. But after the arrow was shot, someone came by with medicines, and he didn't buy it. Mahu, what's the halacha then? Samarle, no. So he said to him, in that case, what's that? Good, right? Hareyatsumi bezdin zakai. In other words, we can't convict such a person. We can't convict the arrow shooter. Because, as you said, as Fred said, he had a way to save himself. He should have saved himself. Okay. Amar Rava, Rava said another law. Zarak tzror bekota. Let's say someone throws a rock against a wall to kill someone. V'chazer la'achora. Because he threw it against the wall, it bounced back. V'hargan, it killed someone. Chayiv, that is murder. That is considered a direct act.
Why?
Because that is an act. Because it's his force that's making it bounce. It's true, it went against the wall. But he threw it against the wall.
But he at the same token, he didn't want to kill anybody. He threw it at the wall.
No, he wanted to kill.
But this is the wrong person.
Oh, if he wanted to kill, okay, then it's
he
a different story.
Yeah.
But if he had no intention of killing that person...
Yeah, he had intention. That's the case.
So he intended plus the cause. Is that what you're saying? The two
We're saying that this is considered a direct act for murder. The fact that it bounced against the wall doesn't make it an indirect act. It is still considered a direct act.
But he didn't know it was going to bounce back.
He didn't know. Yeah, he did. He threw it deliberately against the wall. He threw it to kill someone. V'tana tuna, we learned in a brisa, kigon elu amesachakim bekadur, acts like the way the kids play with balls, where they throw it against the wall to bounce back. Shahargu, if it killed, bemazed it on purpose with a warning, ne'erugin, they would be killed. Bishogig, if they did it by mistake, golan, they would have to go to the city of refuge. That's what the brisa says. Bishogig, golan, if they did it by mistake, they didn't know there was a person there, they'd have to go to a city of refuge. Sheets, of course, why wouldn't they? Answers the Gemara, bemazed ne'erugin, it's trichalei, 100%. The point is that deliberately, he would get killed for this. Now the Tam would have thought to say that the warning is considered Hasra Safiku. The warning is a conditional warning. Warnings have to be precise. It has to be, don't do this, because if you do it, this is what's going to be. But here, you don't know what's going to be. Maybe me Yema de Hadra, who says the ball is going to bounce back? So maybe it's a conditional warning. If the ball bounces back and kills, you're doing a problem. That's what the Brice is saying. No, that when you throw something against a wall, it's not conditional, maybe the thing will bounce back. You know it's going to bounce back. You're using the power of the wall to bounce it back, to give it force. That's like a direct act. That's like throwing directly at a person. Tana, Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava, Rav Tachlifa was from the land of Israel, taught Kamed Rabavo, in the front of Rabavo, Kagone Lo Misachtim Kadur, things like the way the kids play with the balls, namely somebody throwing something against the wall with intent to go kill Shahargu, and it does in fact kill. So Toch Arba Amos, if it's within 4 amos from the wall, namely within 6 feet from the wall, Potter, he is exempt if it was done by mistake. Chutzla Arba Amos, but if it hit him outside of 4 amos, by mistake, then Chayiv, he would have to go into exiles.
Okay, I'm Larry Viner. The first case that it says he had the intention to kill. All the other cases, it never said.
No, all of these cases are with intention.
It's all, I want to kill this guy, and this is how.
No, this is not he wants to kill. He wants the ball to bounce back.
It says with the intention to kill one. Like, he's going to kill. I want to kill one guy. I throw the ball, but it bounces off the wall and hits another guy.
Okay.
You're liable for murder because your intention was to kill somebody.
No, but here it's in terms of going into exile.
Right.
We'd have to go to exile.
Before he was killed.
Correct.
If he did that. So in each of these cases before, he has the intention to kill somebody.
Correct.
So if somebody says to him, or two people say, you know, if you tie him up in front of the lion, he's probably going to die.
Right.
And you do it anyway. And he dies. He's still not?
He's exempt because the lion would have killed him anyway. That's what Rashi says.
Even with the warning.
Even with the warning and the intent. Amar le'Ravina, Ravina said to Ravashi, hey Chidami, what's this distinction between 4 amos, outside of 4 amos? Idaka nichale. If you're saying because out of 4 amos, that's where you wanted it to go. So afilu portanami, if he wants it, so even less than 4 amos, if that's what he wants, so he should have to go into exile. Lidelo nichale, if he didn't want it to get to where it got to, that's why he's exempt within 4 amos. So afilu tuva, if he doesn't want it, then even outside the 4 amos, he didn't want it to go there, he shouldn't have to go into exile. Nami lo, if he didn't want it to get to that spot, he shouldn't be going to exile for an act that he didn't want to do. Amar le, Saravashi answered, Ravina, what's the case? Stam sachakim bekadur. The normal way of people who are playing with a ball, throwing things against a wall. Kama da'ayli tvei menach nichale. The more he gets closer to the wall, the more he's happy. Right? The whole idea is to stand closer to the wall, throw the ball against the wall so that it flies far. So his main goal was to have the ball fly far. So if the ball hits someone close within 4 amos, that's not what he was trying to do. So if it wasn't the act that he was trying to do, he doesn't go into exile. But if it flew far, that is the act he's trying to do because he's playing a game. So then, if it kills someone, it's the act he wanted, he goes into exile. So the Memra, so the Gemara says, does this mean to say, Techihai Gavra, that in such a case, Kochohu, that throwing something against the wall is still considered his act, or Mini, but I'll challenge you from a Mishnah in Masechet Para. Hamakadesh, a person who's taking the ashes of Para Aduma, the law is he has to pour the ashes directly into the water. What happens if Nafal Kiddush Al Yado, the ashes of the Para Aduma fell on his hand, O Al Atzad, or they fell on the side of the utensil, V'yachakach Nafal Ashokes, and then from the side of the utensil, or from his hand, they fell into the water, into the container with the water. So puzzle, that's not considered putting the ashes directly into the water. That's not considered his koach. So that should be a problem with all these discussions. If somebody throws something against the wall, that shouldn't be his act. It shouldn't be murder. It shouldn't be something that causes him to go into exile. Answers the Gemara. Now, if he throws something against a vessel and then bounces from the vessel into the water, that is his act. Hacha, when did we say it's not an act? B'mayaskina, what are we dealing with? B'shoses, when the ashes are rolling or bouncing down a slope. So then already it's not his act at all. In other words, it bounces and it bounces again, it bounces again. That's not an act. If I take a ball and I throw it against the wall and it bounces in one act, that's an act. But if the ball is dribbling down a slope, so that already is the act of the slope. First, Koach maybe is his, but the subsequent bounces, that's already not his act, and therefore that wouldn't be considered putting the ashes into the Para Aduma. Putting the ashes of Para Aduma into the water. Tashma, come and hear a proof from another Mishnah in Para. Machat, if you have a needle that is tummy with Tumas Mace. Shahaya Nesuna Alacheres, that was on earthenware. Vihiza Alea, and he sprinkled on it from water that has ashes of Para Aduma mixed in it to it. And we see the water on this needle, but we don't know. Safik ala machad hiza, we're not sure if the water went directly onto the needle. Safik ala cheres hizo mitzaleh, we're not sure if maybe the water went to the earthenware, bounced from the earthenware onto the needle. Hazaso psula, so we're not sure that it's tar. You may have to do it again, because you have to sprinkle with the strength, the action of a person. And here it wasn't the action of a person. Here it went, perhaps, onto the utensil, and from the utensil, onto the person. So the same should be with a ball or a stone thrown against the wall. It went to the wall, but now it's the action of the wall. Am Rav Chinuna bar Yehuda Mishmei de Rav. Rav Chinuna, the son of Rav Yehuda, said in the name of Rav, it's not that there was a single bounce. Matza itmar. Don't say mitza, that maybe it bounced, but maybe it was found. We found the water on the needle. We don't know if he sprinkled the water directly on the needle, or maybe the water went on the utensil and then it dribbled from the utensil down onto the needle. And if it dribbles with multiple bounces, that already is not considered his act, and that's why it may not be considered his act. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Haima de kafti lechavri, a man who binds his friend, va'ashkol le'bidke demaya, and then he removes the thing that's holding back the water in the dam. Kegirei didehu, that water is already his own act. That's like his arrows. U'michayev, and he's guilty. Hanimili b'koach rishon, that's true at the first burst of water. Aval b'koach sheni, but once the water hits the ground and then it flows from the ground propels it further. Grama ba'almahu, that's only considered an indirect cause. Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa said, Zarak tzror lemala. The person threw a stone up. V'holchal it stadim, but it moved off to the side. V'hargan it killed. Chayev, he is guilty for murder. Okay.
But then they end up dying. Is that shogun or is that...